Chapter 20. Under Arrest. For the second time that day, I was marched through Fun Jungle in handcuffs. Once again, Bubba and Marge each held an arm of mine. Meanwhile, Hank the Tank was back in Fun Jungle Security's holding cell. Industrial sabotage was a much bigger crime than the local police were prepared to handle, so JJ had called some friends in the government and asked them to send federal agents. Mom and Dad walked alongside Marge, Bubba, and me, although they'd given up on arguing that a mistake had been made, aware the argument would only fall on deaf ears. Now they were merely doing their best to comfort me. "Don't worry," Mom said. "We'll get you out of this as soon as we can." "We'll find the real thief," Dad assured me, "and everything'll be right again." "I know," I said, although it probably didn't sound convincing. I knew my parents were lying to me. Or at least they could only hope what they said was true. The fact was, I was in a huge amount of trouble. Whoever had really poached the koala had set me up perfectly. All the evidence pointed to me, while there hadn't been so much as a shred to implicate them. The only hint that someone else was involved at all was the koala hair and poop Marge had found in my room, but I knew the argument that it had been planted there seemed awfully weak. Who in their right mind would plant koala poop? With me in hand, the police had no incentive to look for anyone else. That left Mom and Dad to continue investigating, and we were out of leads. The best we had was the tip Marge had received that the koala hair was in my room. I assumed that had come from the real thief, but there was no way to know for sure. And Marge refused to share anything more about the tip. She'd only admit that it was a phone call and that it had been placed the previous afternoon. All in all, I'd ended up the perfect patsy. We passed through the front gates into the massive parking lot. There was a cluster of news fans by the park entrance. Pete Thwacker stood in the glare of the minicam lights, talking to several reporters at once. I caught a few bits of his canned speech between gusts of wind. "We've simply had a technical glitch at Shark Odyssey. I can promise you it's nothing serious. Nobody was hurt, but the exhibit might have to be shut down temporarily while we make repairs to improve the viewing experience for all our valued guests." Despite my dour mood, I almost laughed. It was amazing how well Pete could twist the truth with a straight face. Although Tracy had threatened to fire him after the fake koala disaster, I knew she'd never do it. The park needed him too badly. The police cars were parked a long way from the entrance. Even Marge understood that it was bad for business to have the police right at the front gates, so she'd asked Bubba to park well off to the side. Thankfully, the sleet had finally stopped, but the parking lot was now coated with an inch of cold slush, and bone-chilling winds blasted us as we crossed the wide expanse of asphalt.
"Wait!" someone yelled. "Teddy, wait!"
Christy Sullivan was running after us, waving frantically. Marge tried to ignore her and keep walking, but Bubba stopped. At first I thought this was because Bubba wasn't in any hurry to take me away, but when I saw the excited look on his face, I figured out the real reason. He thought Christy was cute. "Can I help you?" he asked, trying to sound as suave as possible.
"You're making a big mistake," Christy told him. "There's no way Teddy stole Kazoo. He would never do anything like that."
"Well, he did," Marge said, but before she could go on, Bubba puffed up his chest and interrupted.
"Officer Bubba Stackhouse at your service. What's your name, ma'am?"
"Christy Sullivan. I'm a keeper in the small mammal house, though I worked with Kazoo until he was taken."
Christy looked at me apologetically.
"I'm so sorry, Teddy. I only heard the news just now when I got to work. I came as fast as I could."
"Do you have any evidence that someone else took Kazoo?" Bubba asked.
"Of course," Christy said. "I shared my leads with Marge days ago. Charlie Connor, Freddie Malloy, and Flora Hancock all had motives."
"That wasn't evidence," Marge huffed. "That was speculation. The cold hard facts say Teddy did this."
"No, they don't," I said. "I was framed."
"Oh, not this malarkey again," Marge sighed. "Let's go, Bubba. We've wasted enough time as it is."
"Arresting the wrong person is a waste of time," Christy countered. "While you've been focused on Teddy, the real thief still has Kazoo, and time is running out. That koala will starve to death soon."
"He won't if Teddy admits where he's hidden him," Marge snapped,
then dragged me away. Bubba graciously tipped his hat to Christy, still trying to make a good impression despite the circumstances.
"It was a pleasure to meet you, ma'am. Should you come across any concrete evidence that exonerates Teddy here,
Feel free to contact me directly.
Christy ignored him, tailing after me. Teddy, is there anything I can do?
I don't think so, I said. Thanks for trying, though.
Yes, Mom said. It was nice of you to run all the way after us on such a nasty day.
Christy waved this off. Oh, it's no big deal. I'm happy to get out of the small mammal house. It stinks in there.
She shivered in disgust. All those rats and bats and stuff. None of them are anywhere near as cute as Kazoo. Something about this statement struck a nerve with me. I knew Christy was trying to put my mother at ease, and yet the disgust she'd registered had been real. A thought began to take shape in my mind. I glanced at my father's watch. It was nearly 11 a.m.
Christy, I asked, did you say you just got to work now?
Christy shrugged, not nearly as bothered about being 2 hours late as she should have been.
Yeah, but I'll stay later tonight. It doesn't really make a difference. The animals don't seem to care.
We reached the police car, which was covered with a thick layer of sleet. Marge held her hand up to Christy, stopping her in her tracks.
The time for chit-chat is over. Teddy has to go now.
Christy nodded understanding and waved goodbye to me.
Be strong, Teddy, she said, then wiped away a tear and turned back toward Fun Jungle.
Bubba opened the police car door, but then stepped away, leaving me with my parents.
You can have a little time to say goodbye, he told us.
Marge rolled her eyes as if Bubba's decency were a sign of weakness somehow. I looked into the car. With the windows shrouded in sleet, the back seat was dark and cave-like. Just thinking about getting in made me shudder. I turned back to my parents, who knelt in the cold slush to hug me goodbye. Mom was crying. Dad looked as sad as I'd ever seen him. And yet, while I should have felt upset or angry, I didn't. Instead, my mind was racing. I turned back to Christy and watched her walking away in no particular hurry to get back to her job. Suddenly, the thought I'd been working on became clear to me.
Christy isn't a very good keeper, is she? I asked.
Mom and Dad blinked at me, surprised I'd chosen this moment to ask that question, but aware I must have had a good reason.
Why do you say that? Dad asked.
The animals are all on strict schedules, right? I asked. Even the ones in the small mammal house. Although, Christy said the animals don't care if she gets here 2 hours late. It does matter to them, doesn't it?
Well, it should, Mom said, intrigued. The animals might not have to be fed right at 9, but the keepers still need to be here by then to check on them, make sure they're healthy, clean their cages, and things like that.
You're right. It doesn't sound like Christy's paying much attention to her animals.
This is all very fascinating, Marge said sarcastically, but as much as I'd like to hear it, we can't sit here all day. Teddy, get in the car.
She grabbed my arm and pulled me away. Mom lashed out and caught my other arm.
Wait, she said.
I've waited long enough, Marge told her.
Then another minute won't make a difference, will it?
Mom got right in Marge's face and stared her down.
So unclench for once, Marjorie. This is important.
Marge was so cowed she let go of me and shrank back. Mom turned back to me, any trace of anger gone.
Now then, Teddy, tell me what you're thinking.
Well, I began, I don't think Christy was paying as much attention to Kazoo as she should have either. She had these huge stacks of fashion magazines on the desk in her office. The only reason for that would be if she was reading on the job rather than working.
They might have belonged to one of the other keepers, Bubba suggested, already smitten enough with Christy to defend her honor.
Maybe, I admitted, but Christy also told me the other day that taking care of the fake koala was even more work than the real one. She said the real koala was easy to take care of, but he shouldn't have been if she was really doing her job. I was in the exhibit with her the night everyone thinks I took the koala. She didn't even check on him. She only changed his water. Bubba started to protest, but I cut him off. I'm not saying she didn't like Kazoo, and I know she learned a lot about koalas and was really good at teaching people about them. But that's not the same thing as taking good care of them, right?
Right, Mom and Dad agreed.
So she didn't take care of Kazoo, Marge groused. What's the big deal?
Koalas don't move much, I explained. They stay in the same place for hours at a time. Whoever stole Kazoo replaced him with a stuffed animal, and the tourists couldn't even tell the difference. So if Christy wasn't paying as much attention to Kazoo as she was supposed to, maybe she didn't notice that he'd been replaced by a stuffed animal either.
My parents' eyes suddenly lit up with understanding. Dad grinned.
In fact, she might not have noticed for an entire day, he said.
Meaning what? Marge asked.
Teddy didn't steal Kazoo the night he hid in the exhibit, Mom said. because Kazoo was stolen the night before that.
It took a moment for Marge to comprehend. Then she frowned.
That's ridiculous.
Is it? Bubba asked.
No, Mom told him. It's completely plausible. The thief took Kazoo and replaced him with the stuffed koala, but Christy didn't notice. And since Christy was the only keeper working the next day, there was no one else to catch the mistake.
Therefore, it was more than 24 hours before anyone realized Kazoo was gone, Dad added. But when you checked the security tapes, you only checked the ones for the night you thought Kazoo had been stolen, not for the night before, when he was really taken, which explains why you only saw Teddy but not the real thief.
Marge shook her head violently.
I don't buy it.
It wouldn't be hard to check, Dad told her. Security saves 2 weeks' worth of footage. We simply need to check the tapes from 4 nights ago. If Teddy's right, the true thief will be on there.
Sounds like a wild goose chase to me, Marge muttered, then reached for me again.
Before she could grab my arm, however, Bubba grabbed hers.
Now hold on, he said. The last thing I want to do is lock up some kid who doesn't deserve it. There's no harm in making absolutely sure we got the right person.
Marge shot him a look of betrayal, then pulled her arm free.
Have it your way, but when this all turns out to be a waste of time, don't complain to me.
She slammed the door of the police car and led the way back to the park. Mom and Dad turned to Bubba.
Thanks, Mom said.
I don't like making mistakes, Bubba told her.
We better hurry, Dad said. If Kazoo was taken when Teddy says, then he's been without food for nearly 4 days now, not 3.
Oh, no, I said, growing worried. I hadn't thought of that. Now that Kazoo's life was in even more danger, there was no time to waste.
We all hustled back across the parking lot, through the employee entrance, and toward the administration building. Pete Thwacker was heading up the front steps as we arrived, his press conference over. Now that the cameras weren't rolling, he was no longer smiling. Instead, he was frowning at something on his smartphone. Mom approached him as we all entered the building.
Pete, I was wondering, did you have a hand in hiring Christy Sullivan to work at Koalaville?
I sure did, Pete replied without looking up from his phone. She's great, isn't she?
In the lobby there was a great deal of security. Normally it would have taken my family several minutes to pass, but because we were with Marge, the guards waved us through.
Does Christy have any sort of certification in animal care? Mom asked.
Pete pursed his lips in thought.
I don't believe so, but honestly, how hard is it to care for a koala? All those things do is sleep.
Christy had something that's a lot harder to come by. Stage presence.
You mean you hired her because she's attractive, Mom said.
Pete shrugged. Studies show that interacting with attractive women greatly increases our guests' enjoyment.
Mom frowned. So instead of hiring a qualified keeper, you hired a piece of eye candy.
Hey, it wasn't only my decision, Pete snapped. A lot of people weighed in on Christy. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have yet another crisis to deal with.
Besides the shark tank? Marge asked worriedly.
Yes, Pete sighed. Not nearly as bad, but still a crisis. Some moron leaked photos of our new tiger cubs to the press. He held up his phone, displaying a picture of them. They're all over the internet already. JJ's pitching a fit, demanding to know who's responsible.
Suddenly, yet another mystery became clear to me.
I'd check out Arthur Koenig, I said. I overheard him trying to sell them the other day.
Pete turned back to me, stunned.
You did? Why didn't you say anything?
I didn't know he was talking about the pictures. I thought he might have been trying to sell Kazoo, but he was definitely doing something illegal. He said he could go to jail, and he works in carnivore control.
Pete broke into a big grin. He turned to Marge.
Could you go find Arthur?
I've got other fish to fry right now, Marge said, but I'll send someone else.
An elevator pinged open in the lobby. All of us piled into it except Pete.
Thanks, Teddy, he said. If it's really Arthur, I owe you big.
Bubba turned to me and chuckled.
You're a one-man police department, kid.
Marge glowered at me in response. The elevator doors were just about to shut when Tracy Boyd slipped through them. She regarded us with surprise.
What are you all doing here?
Heading to the security control center, Dad told her, and then explained my theory of how Kazoo had really been stolen one night earlier than anyone realized.
Tracy's jaw dropped as she listened.
When we reached our floor, she got off with us instead of continuing on up to her office.
I've got to see this for myself, she said.
Security control was a small room. Two guards sat before a huge bank of monitors, which displayed camera feeds from all over the park. I caught glimpses of the front gates, Hippo River, the Safariland tram loading station, and 24 other locations. The guards reacted with surprise when we burst in. There was barely room for all of us inside. Marge started to say something, but Tracy beat her to it. "I need to see the video from the koala exhibit the night before we think Kazoo was stolen," she told the guards.
"The night before?"
one guard repeated, confused. "That's right," Tracy said. 4 nights ago. Bring it up."
"Which cameras?" the other guard asked.
"All of them," Tracy replied. The guards nodded and quickly typed commands into the system. The computers that controlled all the security footage hummed busily. Within seconds, camera views from the night in question began popping up on the screens, replacing the live feeds. Soon we had all 4 angles of the door to the koala exhibit's keeper's office, as well as several other feeds showing the various locations in Koalaville. "Sync them up, then play them all at once," Tracy ordered, "starting with closing time." The guards dutifully obeyed. They synced the video to 5 o'clock. We watched as Christy Sullivan herded the last of the tourists out of the exhibit, then went around to the office door. After only a few minutes, she emerged again, having taken care of Kazoo for the evening. She zipped her winter jacket, clapped on some earmuffs, and hustled toward the employee parking lot, looking like she was in a big hurry to get home.
"Oh, my," Mom gasped.
"What?" Dad asked.
"She didn't lock the door," Mom said.
"Back up the tape," Tracy ordered. The guards did. We watched again, this time in slow motion. Sure enough, Christy exited the koala exhibit and, in her haste, didn't bother to make sure the door closed behind her. On a normal day, the door probably would have swung shut on its own, but a gust of wind caught it and prevented this. Instead, the door came to rest lightly against the jamb without completely closing.
"J.J. spent millions on the security for this place," Tracy grumbled, "and yet none of it does any good if some idiot doesn't remember to lock the darn doors."
I was pretty astonished myself. After all the time I'd spent trying to figure out how the thief had so cleverly outwitted the security system, it turned out that they'd simply gotten lucky. First, Christy had left the door open, and then she hadn't noticed the crime had been committed for an entire day. On the monitors, Christy hurried off, unaware of the unlocked door. But someone else was watching. Christy wasn't even out of sight before a figure stepped out of the merchandise tent, clutching a stuffed koala. We couldn't see the person's face, though. They were wearing a winter jacket, with the hood pulled up to shield them from the cold. Whoever it was looked at the stuffed koala they were holding, then at the exhibit, then at the stuffed koala again. Then they approached the keeper's office and tried the door. When it swung open easily, the thief slipped inside. The thief didn't seem concerned about cameras at all. In fact, the idea that there might be security never appeared to occur to them. They were only inside for a few minutes, and then they emerged once again, holding Kazoo rather than the stuffed koala.
"Holy cow," Bubba said. "Teddy, it looks like you're innocent."
Mom and Dad cried out with joy.
"We told you,"
Mom exclaimed to everyone. Tracy turned to Marge, annoyed.
"A 12-year-old figured this out and you didn't?"
Marge didn't respond. Nor did she make any attempt to apologize for relentlessly trying to pin Kazoo's theft on me. Instead, she glared at me angrily, apparently hating me more now than she ever had before. While I was thrilled to see Marge get dressed down and hugely relieved to be proved innocent, I was still worried about Kazoo. On the security monitors, the koala certainly wasn't happy being taken out into the cold, and he wailed and squirmed wildly. The thief was handling Kazoo roughly in response, which made me think the koala probably hadn't been treated well at all over the last few days.
"Can we find an angle that shows our thief's face?" Tracy asked.
The guards ran through the various camera angles, but despite them all, the thief got lucky again. The jacket hood shielded their face perfectly. There wasn't a single direct view. We couldn't even get a glimpse of hair to determine the color, or for that matter, to tell whether the thief was a man or a woman. Everyone else was equally frustrated.
"A 12 cameras and there's not one positioned to get us an ID," Bubba sighed.
On the monitors, the thief tried to stuff Kazoo into a backpack. The koala fought back with surprising force, clawing with all 4 of its limbs. The thief responded in kind, angrily smacking the koala, which then sank its teeth into one of the thief's hands. The thief recoiled in pain, though we still couldn't get a view of the face. The thief was so focused on forcing the koala into the pack that their head was constantly angled downward.
"At least Kazoo's really doing a job on the jerk,"
Dad said. That's not surprising, Mom explained. Koalas look so innocent, people always expect they'll be docile, but they can be extremely aggressive. They have sharp teeth and claws, and if you back them into a corner, they'll do what it takes to defend themselves. The thief finally managed to overpower Kazoo and cram the poor creature into the backpack. Then, keeping their head down, the thief raced off camera and vanished from view.
I don't believe it, Bubba groaned. Not a single clear mugshot in the whole batch.
Maybe we can still find one. Tracy turned to the guards. Go back over all that footage, frame by frame, and see if you can find anything remotely usable. And then check the feeds of every camera between Koalaville and the main entrance. Our thief must have passed one of them.
That could take hours, one guard complained.
I don't care, Tracy barked. Just do it. I want to know who took Kazoo. Please, Mom pleaded, do what you can. Kazoo has been without food for almost 4 days. He's running out of time.
We'll do our best, the guard said, but there's a chance all this will come up empty. If that thief kept the hood over their face the whole time, we might never know who took Kazoo.
My parents sadly nodded acceptance of this. Actually, that's not true, I said. I know who did it. Everyone in the room turned to me, stunned.
Who? Tracy asked.
Vance Jessup, I replied.